Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning Le'ilui and the Zecher Nishmasa Miriam Fren. Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hoshalom. May her neshama have a continuous aliyah. And the schus of the Torah we will share this evening. Of course, we thank the Fren family very much for their generous sponsorship and commitment to the Torah that we share, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother. So we are going back to last week. We got a little sidetracked. I just really wanted to touch on the concept of Gilgal Neshamas, as mentioned in the Kriya Shema Al Hamita, the transmigration of the souls, and also one idea from Rav Soloveitchik about the spark within every person, and that became its whole own shiur. So I'd like to go back tonight on track, and what we're really grappling with or discussing is this idea of acquiring Muna by contemplating suffering. So contemplating suffering, I just want to give everyone such a big chizuk. Someone reached out to me today who is part of the shiur, and it was such an amazing thing that she said. And she said in the email that I literally wake up happy on Wednesday because of the Sha'arei Shiur. I had a tremendous chizuk from that, and I thought it was very beautiful. It made me, Baruch Hashem, very happy. So we should continue to be mechazek each other and learn and grow from this shiur. But as I thought it was amazing to wake up, you know, Wednesday morning and say, wow, tonight's Sha'arei Shiur. Okay, so kol kavod to all who participate, and of course, this is all possible because of the Frun family. So I found something in Mishpacha magazine that I want to quote. This is a very cute story. I spoke last night at a shul in Lawrence, and I quoted actually three different things from Mishpacha during the duration of the shiur, three different ideas, topics from three different editions and years. So by the third one, someone in the shiur said, she started laughing and she said, I think you find different things in Mishpacha than most people find. It was just very cute. So I said, I enjoy the cereals also, but it happens to me that there are sometimes very interesting and relevant and applicable, beautiful Devarei Torah. So this is from this past week's Mishpacha, and I cut it out. It's heard from Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita, and it relates to our idea of finding Hashem in darkness. Okay? So living, it's actually called Living in the Dark. Okay, this is a teaching from Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita, and it's called Living in the Dark, which is what we are discussing. One of the wonders of the Torah is the exquisite correlation between the parashios and the time of the year in which they are read. I always know that there's a correlation between the parashios. For example, Devarim always occurs Erev Tisha B'Av. The reason for that is because the sin of the spies is mentioned. So before we read the sin of the spies, which was the original Tisha B'Av, before Tisha B'Av, we read the original Tisha B'Av when the spies rejected Eretz Yisrael. That means Va'eschanan, when Moshe davens to go into Eretz Yisrael, is always Shabbos Nachamu. Shabbos Nachamu, we wait for the comfort of being taken back to Eretz Yisrael. So there are always certain times of the year the parashios are not random. So I learned something I never knew before, which I thought was extremely interesting. And that is, as the winter darkness of Teves sets in, okay, I know we're in Shvat, as the winter darkness of Teves sets in, we read about Galus. We go down to Mitzrayim in Parashas Vayigash. Yaakov and Yosef die in Parashas Vayichi. The persecution starts in Parshas and Sefer Shemos, and Va'era begins with the most intense suffering. So when Moshe comes and he says the Arba Lashon is Geula, and they're in such suffering, V'lo Shamu al Moshe Mikotzer Ruach Mevod Akasha. They can't even listen because they're in such intense suffering. But Va'era also begins with the beginning of Geulas Mitzrayim. So Va'era is the first seven Makos. So by the beginning of Va'era, they're slaves, and by the end of Va'era, it's the process of redemption and the first seven Makos. This is so interesting. Ready? Parshas Va'era always falls on the Shabbos Mevarchim Shvat. I never knew that. Parshas Va'era, has Parshas Va'era begin? Hashem says, I appear to the Avos, Bekel Shakayush Mi Hashem Lo Nadati Lahem, and then Hashem very quickly launches into Votzesi Eschem Mitachos Sivlos Mitzrayim. I actually have the Shmos here. Votzalti Eschem Me'avodosam. Very quickly, in the beginning of the era, we are told that Hashem will take us out from Egypt, save us from Egypt, redeem us from Egypt, and take us to Him as a people. Keneged, equated to these four promises of redemption, we drink four cups of wine on the Pesach Seder. We have the four sons. We have the four questions. So we see that this number four is integral to the celebration of Geula, redemption from Egypt, all based on these arba the four promises of redemption that God made. When did Hashem make the promises of redemption? when the people were steeped in suffering, when it was very, very dark, when they could not see hope for redemption, because Moshe comes and he tells them these wonderful promises, and the fifth being, I will bring you to the land that I have raised my hand, taken an oath to give to them as a heritage. They can't even listen to Moshe because of shortness of spirit and on hard work. So there is so much suffering, they can't even listen. So the promise of redemption comes when it's the most dark, when the suffering is the most intense. Va'era, what does this all have to do with Chodesh Shvat? What's Chodesh Shvat? Chodesh Shvat is the month of Tu Bishvat. Chodesh Shvat is the month when the trees look totally bare, when it looks like the most deepest part of winter, when there's no hope for life, when the trees look dead. We always read Parshas Ve'era on Shabbos Mevarchim Shvat. Did anyone know that before? This isn't a trick. I'm just very curious. I never knew this before, and I think that it's absolutely fascinating. The promise of Geula comes when we're in the most intense suffering. We couldn't even listen to Moshe. Mikotzer Ruach. We are short-spirited. Avoda Kasher. We're under the most intense labor. We can't imagine there will be life again. How could you even see goodness when it's so oppressively terrible, when the dark is so dark? How could you look at a tree and see that there will once again be rimonim, pomegranates, and te'enim, figs, and zeitim, olives, when it looks so barren, when it looks so dead? The era always falls on Shabbos Mevarchim Shvat. It is no accident that this is the month the trees begin to blossom again. So I thought that was incredible, because it's a strong correlation between the promise of redemption when it's so dark, and the suffering is so intense, it's hard to see the goodness. But that's Davka, when Hashem says, from here the good will come. That's the whole message of Tu Bishvat, of course. That from what looks like a totally dead and barren tree, what looks like a dead nation in Egypt, what looks like lacking any spiritual life, the tree is lacking physical life. So we read Va'era before on Shabbos Mevarchim Shvat, the month of the renewal, the rebirth of the trees. Furthermore, continuing on, this whole thing I never knew, each month corresponds to a different Shevet. Does anybody know which Shevet corresponds to Teves? Which Shevet, which tribe corresponds to the month of Teves? A couple of people look like they're typing. Yes, Dan. So Varda Birnbaum said Dan. Correct. Okay. So Chodesh Shvat corresponds to the tribe of Dan. I thought that this was very interesting before I go into this teaching, because Dan is very relevant to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem tells Avraham Avinu back in the Bris Mila Bsarim, the covenant between the pieces, in Bereishis Perek Tesvav, which we read on Leah HaSeder, these psukim. Yadoa teda ki geri azarecha be'eretz lo lahem va'avadum vinu osam arba me'oshana. Know you shall surely know that your children will be strangers in a strange land for 400 years. They will be enslaved and oppressed. However, v'gamas hagoy asher yavodu dan anochi. Also the nation that oppresses them, dan anochi, I will, what's dan, dayan, I will judge. V'acharichei nitzir b'chush gadol. So those psukim should be familiar, if not from the Bris Bein Absar and Bereishis Perek Tesvav, and from Leah HaSeder, they're part of the liturgy of the Agadah Shel Pesach. So that word dan, which is the koach of the month of Teves, not Teves, Shvat, the word Dan, which is the koach of the month of Shvat, also plays a very prominent role in this idea of life from death, Geula from Galus, light from darkness. Why? Dan Anochi, I will judge them. Rabbi Zevlef points out that had it Hashem judged the Egyptians, through which tool were all the Makos brought? All the Makos, they begin in Parshas Ve'era, the Parsha of Shabbos Mevarchim Shvat, which is the month of Dan. All the Makos were done through which tool? Which vessel did Moshe use to bring all the Makos? The Mata. That's right. So you were starting to go like this. So if you look by the Psukim, you'll see that they're all done with the Mata, which is why Aaron had to do Dam Tzvardei and Kinim. Moshe could not take the Mata to strike the water or the sand because of Akarsa Tov. So Dan, they were judged through the Mata. Rabbi Zevlef points out that Mata is the gematria of Dan. Mem is 40. It's Mata is 40, 9 and 5 is 54, and Dan is 4 and 50 is 54. They're both 54 because the vehicle that God used to bring Dan, Din, Dayan, judgment upon the Egyptians was the Mata. So here's another connection. The Koach of Teves is Dan. Shabbos Mevarchim Teves is always Parshas Va'era. The Mata makes its appearance by first the signs and then the Makos, that begin in Parshas Va'era. So once again, you see, in the middle, Hashem says, you think you don't have any tool. You think there's no hope. You think there will never be good from bad. You think there will never be light from dark. But I have the tool. Rabbi Yishav Mordechai Rubashkin shared a beautiful insight. This is also from Mishpacha. It was like a Pesach and a half ago. So one of them, I told her, last time she was up, and she said, I think you get different things from Mishpacha and most people get out of it. So Rabbi Yishav Mordechai Rubashkin related, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Hashleich al Hashem Yehavecha v'chu yichal kalecha. Cast upon God your burdens and he will sustain you, like ala micha v'ahal kalkala. Okay? But Hu Yichal Kalacha said, Rabbi Shalom Mordechai Rubashkin, is the root word kli, vessel. Hashleich al Hashem Yehavecha, cast upon God your burdens. Hu Yichal Kalacha, he will make you the vessel or the kli for your geula. When you think there's no hope, when you think there's no chance, when you think I've exhausted all possibility of salvation, it's only dark, it's only bad, I don't see any life. So Hashem says, give me your burden. I always have a kli to bring the geula. You don't see the capacity. So if coming from someone like Rabbi Shalom Mordechai Rubashkin, it's obviously very powerful. A person should never give into this idea of yeush, despair, that even when we see only suffering, even when we see only bad, we see only dark, dead trees, a nation lost in Egypt, no vehicle or vessel. So Hashem says, ah, davka, when you're mevarich the chodesh, when the trees come back to life, read Parshas Va'era. That's Parshas Va'era. The Arba or five, the Shonas of Geula, and we couldn't even listen. But Hashem says, I have a much bigger plan. You only see your limited vision of suffering right now. Don't you know I have a much bigger plan? I have Geula plan from this suffering. And of course, we're not only talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Rabbi Zavlov says, it doesn't say, you don't have to see yourself like you left the land of Egypt. You didn't leave the land of Egypt. You have to see yourself as if you left your personal suffering. So that's the whole message of the reblossoming of the trees. The trees look totally dead. I look like I have no hope for this matzav. I only see suffering. No, so when are you mevarich the chodesh shvat? With which parasha? Va'era. The parasha when Hashem reveals his plan and the Jews can't even listen because they're so oppressed. We see such confusion. Mamish, it's such a dark world. There is so much rachmana litzlan, suffering everywhere you turn, and no one knows what's going on. Hashem says, you only see the darkness. I see a much bigger plan. Hashem says, you don't see a vehicle or a vessel or a tool for Dan Anochi. But that magic, no, I shouldn't use that word. That miraculous mata that was created, Erev Shabbos Pnei Shmashos, it has within it the koach to be Don Anochi. I will judge them. It's the exact same gematria. Amazing. So that's not what this piece, as quoted from Rav Moshe Wolfson, says. They give it. So I was talking about Dan, not the Sheva, but the actual word. The fact that the koach of Shvat is the koach of Dan obviously has significance as it relates to this idea that it's always read Shabbos Mevarchim of the Parsha of Geula. However, this lesson is something else, okay? Each month corresponds to a different Shevet, with Teves being Dan, which some of you knew. Dan's only child, whose was Dan's only child? Chushim. Ah. Chushim, who was deaf and mute. That Dan's only child couldn't see and couldn't hear, was so challenged, represents the exact challenge of Teves. There's a great physical darkness, which represents our nisyonos, which also may represent spiritual darkness of galus. There's a lack of spiritual awareness, and there's a physical darkness. However, what's teves is to see the good. It's to see the blossoming tree. It's to see the hope and redemption. It's everything we're learning in this shir. This should speak to every single one of us. Everyone is going through personal challenges. It's not possible that your life has no challenges. I either wouldn't believe you, or I think I just wouldn't believe you. Not in a bad way. I'm not trying to put a curse on anybody. It's not how life is. Man is born to toil, says Shlomo HaMelech. We're here to rise above those challenges. And sometimes it's so hard for us to see any light in dark. We spoke last week. Nismala Bais Kula Oro. When Moshe was born, the light and dark. Sometimes it's so hard for us to see the good in what we perceive as bad. Sometimes it's so hard for us to see the Hashkacha and the Hester Panim. The divine intervention and the hidden face of Hashem. But how amazing that as we're Mevarich Shva, I think it's an incredible chiddush. We always read Va'era, which begins with the intense Shibud, which ends with the process of redemption, and we can see it, but Hashem sees it. And furthermore, the Koach is done, which corresponds to the gematria of Mata, which is the vehicle, the kli that Hashem used to redeem us when we gave up all hope. Furthermore, Dan as a person had one child named Chushim, Chush. He was deaf and mute. That Dan's only child couldn't see and hear represents this exact challenge, to see the blessing when it looks like there is no blessing, to see that a tree could come back to life when it looks totally dead. The Medrash tells us that when Esav tried preventing Yaakov's burial, Chushim, Yaakov's grandson, didn't know what was going on, and they couldn't talk to him, he was deaf and mute, and Chushim chopped off his head. We know that his head rolled into the Ma'arsa Machpelah because of the schus of Kibbut Av that he did, because he he served his father with a tremendous degree of Kibbut Av. Therefore, he merited that his head should be buried in the Ma'arsa Machpelah. But who chopped off his head? Chushim, the deaf, mute grandson who didn't understand what was going on. They sent Naphtali down to Egypt, the fast runner. Naphtali's a swift hind, down to Egypt to get the star, the contract that shows that Ma'arsa Machpelah belongs to Yaakov. In the meantime, Chushim came and he killed his uncle. The killing of Esav symbolizes the end of Galus. We're in Galus Edom, we're in Galus Romi, that's where we are in now. Esav is Edom, and the Perachavim and Parshas told us, they called his name Edom because he was born red and hairy. We're in this final Galus, when it's darker than it's ever been. The cutting off of Esav's head by the killing of Chushim, did I say that right? The cutting off of Esav's head when Chushim killed him represents the end of Galus. When Esav is slaughtered, when Esav is killed, not talking about Esav the person, Ace of the Galus, it'll be the end of Galus. The fact that it was Chushim who killed Esav signals to us that our generation, hello, the Teves generation, listen carefully, the fact that Chushim killed Esav, Chushim is the son of Dan, Dan is the Koach of Esav, Dan is the Koach of, and not Esav, Shvat, thank you, signals that our generation is the Teves generation. What is the Teves generation? It's the struggle to see the good in the bad. The life in what looks like dead. The light in what seems dark. The Geula and the Galus. The rebirth and regrowth when all hope seems lost. We live in the spiritual darkness, and it is yet us who live in the darkest period who will deliver Esav's head, which signifies the end of exile. Through overcoming the challenge of living in dark, we can all bring Mashiach. It's fabulous. And so, as heard from Rav Moshe Wilson, it was last week's Spirit and Sparks in Family First. And it relates so beautifully and so importantly, not only to this month, but to the Shir. Because the way to bring the Geula is to hang on to that hope, to hang on to the fact that Hashem is the Tov HaMeitiv, the one who is good and does good, even when we can't see it. Related to this is an insight by Rav Elimelech Biderman that I'm going to share with you. Right, Rav Meinach? Okay, it's related to this whole idea of not giving up when it seems like death, but we can't give up. Okay? Ein Yeush Ba'olam. There is no yeush, despair. There is no despair in the world. Peirush HaRash, B'Parshatan, the Rash was a Rishon. The Rash, it's a picture, okay? My phone's on airplane mode. I'm not texting anybody. Peirush HaRash B'Parshatan, so the Rash, the Peirush of the Rash in our Parsha, Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Al, Pasuk HaBeis. By the way, in my Mikros Gedolos at home, I've looked up this Rash many a time, actually. It's short, Perek of the Rash, in my Mikros Gedolos HaMa'ar, it's all the way, the Perek Rash is in the back, and it's just an incredible piece. The Rash is questioning, before I go to the Rav Meinach Biderman, the Rash is questioning why, what does Rashi tell us by Makos Choshech? I'm holding my recorder. What does Rashi tell us by Machash Choshech? Rashi tells us by the plague of darkness. Why did Hashem bring the plague of darkness? What does Rashi say? Perek Yud Pasuk Chav Beis. Why did Hashem bring the plague of darkness? Rashi gives two reasons. What are the two reasons why Hashem gave the plague of darkness?
So that they could look and see.
I can't hear. I'm sorry.
They can look and see, where their gold and silver.
Oh, exactly right. So the second reason of Rashi is what Avigail just said. So the Israelites, the slaves, could look and see where the Egyptians hid their gold and silver. And then after the Makkah, when it was time to leave, they were to ask for reparations. Hashem commanded Moshe to command the Jewish people. Perikit Aleph Pasuk Beis, V'yishalu ish me'esh ru'uha, v'isha me'esh re'usa, k'le kesef u'k'le zahav. They're commanded to ask for reparations. They weren't paid for 116 years of slavery. And then the Egyptians would say, oh, we don't have anything. And the Jews would say, oh, yes, you do have. You have it in the third drawer of your armoire in your bedroom. So that's one reason. Very nice. What's the other reason for... Very nice, Esti. So Esti got the other reason. So one reason, like Avigail said, the other reason that Rashi gives is because Rashi says, Hayu Rasha'im Ba'oso Hadar, Shalo Ratzum Latzeitz. There were Rasha'im, wicked Israelites in that generation. They didn't want to leave. They were very happy. It's fine here. I don't want to leave. Umesu b'shloshes yamei afela. They died during the 3 days of darkness. Kadesh lo yiru hamitzrim b'mapalatan. So the Egyptians should not see their downfall. The Egyptians would say, oh, look, it's dark. You're being killed. We're being killed. Your God's punishing you. Our God's punishing us. Your God's punishing you. You're suffering in darkness. We're suffering in darkness. So the Egyptians should not see that 4/5 of Am Yisrael was being killed. They were, Rashi calls them, Rasha'im hayu ba'oso ador shalo hayu ratzim latzeis. 10:22. They were completely wicked. They didn't want to leave. So they didn't leave. Sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for. The Maharal Shalom says you don't want to go out, so no problem, you won't go out. How do we know it's 4/5? Parshas Bashalah, Chamushim, Alu B'nei Yisrael, Meir Tzitzrayim. What is Chamushim? Mizuyanim, they were armed. Or Chamesh, 5. 1/5 left Egypt, 4/5 died during the plague of darkness. Okay, so the Rosh asks, why didn't Dasan and Aviram die during the plague of darkness? They are causing trouble always in the desert. They leave over, already in Parshas Bashalach, they're causing problems. They leave over the man and it gets wormy. They gang up with Korach. Why didn't they die? By Makas Choshech. Peirush HaRash b'Parshatan. The Rash explains on the Parsha, Madua lo mesu dasin and aviram, I'm quoting from of Mayrach, Madua lo mesu dasin and aviram b'shloshes yimei hafela. Why didn't dasin and aviram die during the 3 days of fog, the 3 days of thick darkness, b'makas choshech, during the plague of darkness, k'derech shemesu kol rishay b'nei Yisrael? Like all the wicked of the Israelites died, b'shloshes yamim halalu, they all died. Peirush HaRash, ki af al pi, Shahayu Rishaim Gimurim Lo Nisya'ashu Min HaGa'ula. Even though they were completely wicked, they did not despair their redemption would come. They always maintained a belief in Ani Mamim Bevias HaMashiach. They always believed that Hashem is the Kli, even if we don't have the Kli. They always believed that a nation that looks dead could actually be alive. That's Mamish Lashon of the Rash. They did not give up hope in better times. They believed that Hashem is a plan, and if this is where we are, there must be some good and the bad. Behold, you see that even a wicked person like Dasan and Aviram, im enu misya'ish. So he brings, so I'm familiar with this Rosh. I know this Rosh because my son brought it home from Yeshiva Darchei Torah, I think when he was in 8th grade. Now he's in 10th grade, and I was so taken. I forget which Rabbi introduced him to it. I was mamish so taken by it. I went to look it up, and I've retaught it different times. But Rav Meinach adds a chiddush. And by the way, Rav Moshe Sternbach Shlita, the Raida of the Eda HaCharedis in Yerushalayim, teaches that by the Geula HaAsida, the future redemption, whoever is Misya'esh min ha-Ge'ula will not come out. Whoever, like Dasan and Aviram, is not Misya'esh min ha-Ge'ula will be redeemed. Rav Meinach adds a chiddush. Harei sha'af rasha k'dasan v'aviram im einu Misya'esh mi-Ge'ula so. Parentheses. Yitzias Mitzrayim ha-Pratis b'galus ha-Nefesh. We have to take a lesson from Dasan and Aviram. We cannot despair from our personal redemption. Parentheses, the Yitzias Mitzrayim, the redemption, Pratit, how do you translate Pratit? Individual? Yeah. Okay, the private individual redemption from Egypt for the soul that is in exile. In other words, all our nisyonos prevent us from seeing Hashem. All the darkness prevent us from seeing the aura of the Shekhinah. It's very hard. It's very often very hard to identify the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. Between the galus and the darkness and Esav, it's very hard. But you learn from here that even a Rasha like Dasan and Aviram, if he does not give up on his own personal redemption, his own personal Yitzias Mitzrayim, Libasof Lavo Lidei Tikuno Hashalim. Even if you feel like a total Rasha, if you don't give up that there is hope for life after what you feel like is spiritual death, you feel a sense of Yeyush. I'm talking to Michal Haaretz for my different Nisyonos sometimes. And you feel like there's no redemption here, there's no Kli. Hashem says, you don't have the Kli, but I, Dan Anochi, I have the Mata. It was created by Shlishus Yimei Bereishis. This is all part of my plan for creation, from the beginning of time all the way to the end of time. You don't see any possibility for repentance, but don't give up. Even if, in other words, even if you don't see how it's going to unfold, you have to believe that the Tova Hamitiv has a plan and that there will be a positive way that it will unfold. Mipnei she Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael. Because now Rav Meilich quotes the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, because an Israelite, even if he's a sinner, Yisrael hu, he is still an Israelite. Continues Rav Meilich, V'yeda, listen carefully. Remember the chapter before acquiring Amunah by contemplating suffering is the chapter on Ahavas Hashem. We spent a long time also on unconditional love. Love. Next, Ramayach ties us into the topic of Ahavas Hashem. V'yeda ki Ahavas Hashem el banav rachamav tamid bitukufa. You have to know that the love of Hashem towards his children, that means even when you can't see it, that means even when it's very, very dark, Rachamav tamid b'tekufa. His mercy is always in that time. It's always a tekufa of rachamim. Hashem loves us. We are his children. L'chol bar Yisrael. For everyone in Israel. Bar is ben in Aramaic. Af im kvar pagam v'chata ba'ofen hanora b'yoser. Even if that person has a pagam, how do you translate pagam? A stain? How do you translate pagam? What? Okay, thank you. Even if that person seems so distant from Hashem that he's blemished and he's a sinner in the most inconceivable way, the most awesome way, not in a positive sense, the most awesome of a terrible sin. Hashem is always mitzapeh. You know why this is so beautiful? Because the Gemara says in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Aleph, we're going to be asked in the Olam HaEmes, Tzipisa LeYeshua. Were you mitzapa for the Yeshua? What does that mean? Did you long? Did you hope? Did you anticipate redemption? Rav Meilich says Hashem is also mitzapa LeYeshua. We're mitzapa for Hashem's Yeshua, and Hashem is mitzapa for our Teshuvah. Tamid mitzapa kolish baruch hu sheyashuvu elav b'chol lev v'nefesh. Hashem is always mitzapa. He waits, he anticipates, he longs for the day when that person will return to him with all his heart and all his soul. Namtzinu lemeidim. And from here we learn. She'ikr ha'adam hu. What is the ikr? That's the main essence of a person. She'lo yisya'esh me'gu'ula so. It doesn't say me'ha'gu'ula. He derives a personal lesson from this Perush Harash. Perek Yod, Pasuchav Beis, maybe if you have Mikros Gadolos HaMa'ar, I have a number of different Mikros Gadolos sets at home, but the Ma'ar specifically, the Perush Harash is in the back. So what's the ikar of a person? Not to give up on yourself. Shalo yisya'esh megu'ula so. Don't give up. He's not here talking about the national redemption. But don't give up on your redemption. K'shem sh'adam tzarich l'amim b'Hashem, kein tzarich adam l'amim b'atzmo. Our tzedek ha'koin levublin learns that out from next week's parasha, parashas b'shalach. Also, you can't give up on Hashem redeeming you personally. Shalo yisla'esh migu'ula so. Don't give up on your ability to redeem yourself. And don't give up on the ability of the Ribbono Shel Olam to redeem you, no matter how far steeped in sin you are. Even if it's pagam v'chata b'ofen hanura b'yoser. V'chalila lo milomar. It is forbidden to say. And this all ties back to the trees. because the tree looks dead. And the tree looks like there's no hope. And the nation looked dead. They were on the 49th level of impurity. The Malachim say, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Elu of the Avodazar, Elu of the Avodazar, why are you saving them? These are idol worshippers, these are idol worshippers. V'chalila milomar, it is forbidden to say, Hine anochi meis, b'shlosha simei afela, b'tochachi mitzrayim ha'pratishali. V'chalila milomar, Hine anochi meis, b'shlosha simei afela, b'sochechi mitzrayim ha'pratishali. It's forbidden to say, it's so dark, I can't, shlosha simei afela. It's forbidden to say, there's such intense darkness, I give up. It's forbidden to say, it's so dark, I can't possibly see, meaning there's so much suffering, I can't possibly see Yad Hashem. Behold, I'm going to die in my own personal 3 days of darkness, b'sochechi Mitzrayim ha'pratishali, in my own personal, individualized, Mitzrayim means what? Mitzrayim doesn't mean only mean a country, Mitzrayim means between the straits, in a narrow, constricted places. So when a person finds himself in that narrow, constricted place of suffering, it is forbidden to say, that's another thing you learn from Dasam Riyam, behold, I give up, I'm going to die during my 3 personal days of darkness, during my individualized Mitzrayim prati shali. And that's all related to living in the dark. That davka, when it's so dark, we're mevarich the chodesh, where the trees come back to life. Okay, any questions or comments? It's beautiful. Okay, I'm actually going back to the sefer now. Okay, here we go, back into the sefer. So remember, the last thing we did in the Sefer was this idea of Gilgal. That's how we got into the whole concept of Gilgal, because on page 248, the author was talking about the idea that if you see somebody suffering, then you should keep in mind that there are Gilgal Hanashamas, transmigration of the souls, and maybe there was an unfulfilled tafkid of a previous soul's journey here. It came back to fulfill that journey. Once that journey is finished, it departs from this world. But again, we only see part of the picture. Okay, bottom of page 248. Then you should consider, if this baby is suffering, he must have committed some sin. I don't know what it was, but there must have been something. If so, there are two possibilities, top of page 249. Either he could remain with the sin, or chas v'sham, stay far away from the Creator. No, I'm sorry. Either he could remain with the sin and chas v'sham stay far away from the Creator, or he could receive some suffering in order to cleanse the sin and become closer to the Creator. So in other words, the suffering purifies us. And that was one of the purposes of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is described as the Kur HaBarzel, the furnace of refinement, where just like a silversmith puts silver into the, I don't know exactly how it works, but into the furnace to mold it and to shape it and to refine it, so to Hashem put Knesset Yisrael into the furnace of Egypt, the suffering of Egypt, and through that we became cleansed from sin and closer to the Creator. Thus you shall say to yourself, since it is clear to me that true perfection is attachment to Hashem, the only true perfection is kirvas Elokim Litov, being close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and anything else considered good is vanity and deceptive emptiness. Havel, havalim, hakol, havel. Havel says that everything is vanity and emptiness, even though that's a quote from Mesiras Hashem, if you look at the footnote. The only true good is closeness to Hashem. Thus, when evaluating suffering, there should only be one consideration. What should our consideration be when we look at all this darkness? It is immaterial if the experience is pleasant or not. So that's a very high madriga, okay? It's a high madriga to say, excuse me, it's immature if the experience is pleasant or not. What counts is the inner purpose behind it all. Again, if you can remember that there's a bigger picture, okay, that matzah of Moshe was created Erev Shabbos Benishmashos, Perkei Avos Perkei. And it's that matzah through which Hashem was done the Egyptians. And that matzah, I'm tying to Rabbi Shlomo Mordechai Lubashkin's insight, reminds us that Hashem always has a kli. Even if you don't see a vessel for redemption, Hashem says, don't worry, I have a plan from the 6 days of creation. This is all part of the master plan. You don't have a vessel. You don't see hope. You're Messiah Eish, Chas V'Sham. I have the Kli. Mat and Gamatri is done, is 54. What counts, therefore, is the inner purpose behind it all. Without the suffering, a person is very far from the Creator. The suffering makes him closer. So it is really an expression of absolute kindness. It's very hard, because we think to ourselves, Hashem, let me be close to you without the suffering. I'll be close to you. I don't have to suffer so much. But Lamaisa, sometimes when life is pain-free and suffering-free, we forget about Hashem, which is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu says in Devarim Parachas. You're going to have nice houses, and everything is going to be good and wonderful, and your heart will become elevated, and you forget about Hashem. Sometimes when Hashem sends us signs, it's a kindness of Hashem, because He's reminding us to be close to Him. That's who you're going to call out to. Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, in his Parsha Parables series, he tells over, one second, there are... We address that. Okay. So Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky tells over in his Parsha Parables that it happened to the Baron Rothschild family going back in Europe. So one of the wives, Countess Rothschild, was in labor, and it was in the house. So they called the doctor, and the doctor went to check on the wife, and he comes back and he says, it's not time yet. They sit in the front room with Baron Rothschild, let's play cards. So the Baron looks at him, but he starts playing cards. And then they hear from the back room, the wife calls out, doctor, doctor. So he goes running, he throws down the cards, he goes to the back room, and he checks in, and he comes to the front, he says to Baron Rothschild, Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky tells us over, he says, no, it's not time, deal. So Baron Rothschild deals the cards. And then a little while later, they hear her screaming for her husband, whatever she called him, Baron, Baron. So the doctor goes back to check, and he comes, and he says to the husband, it's not time, deal the cards. And then a little while later, she screams, Mama, Mama. And the doctor goes to check, and he comes back, and he says, it's not time. Finally, a little while later, I'm going to ruin it because I don't know in French, Mon Dieu, my God, she calls out. And the doctor throws down his cards, and he says, it's time. And he goes to the back, and he delivers the baby. When a person has the most intense pain, I don't know if it's a true story or not. It's brought down Parsha Parables, but obviously it has a very strong lesson. When a person is in the most intense suffering, the labor reaches its maximum. And by the way, talking about Geula, it's called the birth pangs of Mashiach. The time before the ultimate redemption is called the, remind me, this Chalta de Geula is the beginning of Geula. The what? The Chavlei Mashiach. Thank you so much. The birth pangs, the pushing, the suffering, thank you, of the Mashiach. Why? Because when the labor is the most intense, when the suffering is the most intense, when the Galus Edom is so dark, it's so dark, it's so dark. We don't know Hashem's Gezeiros. We don't understand. That's when a person calls out and says, my God, my God. And the doctor said, now it's time. That's exactly what the Mechaber writes. The suffering makes him closer to the Creator. So in some paradoxical way, that's hard to hear, the suffering is an expression of Hashem's kindness, because it pushes you to be closer to God. What superficially seems negative, middle of page 249, is in fact a product of total kindness. If Hashem is the Tov HaMeitiv, then it must be then everything He does is total kindness, even though it's suffering and it looks negative. Without suffering, the person would be farther from Hashem. And therefore, if he was farther from Hashem, he would be lacking in true good. It's very hard if a person is obviously going through a very difficult time, like Mamish in the middle of Dani Sain, so you have to be very careful what you say to them. You know, maybe don't go give such blatant eitzah, Mamish in the middle of the suffering. It's not the right time to say this is really Hashem's kindness and everything's for the good. They might be able to say for themselves. Person has to have the seichel to know when to say what. But for all of us individually, it's something that we should try and apply to our lives. That understanding that without my suffering, I would be farther from Hashem. Therefore, I would be lacking in true good. But now the suffering brought me closer to Hashem. And therefore, it must be an expression of Hashem's kindness. And David HaMelech says, Yasar Yisrani Kavala Mavis Lo Nisanani. Hashem has given me over to Yisurim. Yasar Yisrani Ka. Double Ashan. Yasar Yisrani. Afflicted me, He has afflicted me. Ulamavis Lona Sanani. But through, paradoxically, through the suffering, I have Cha. What's the opposite of Mavis? Life. Ulamavis Lona Sanani means that through the suffering, I have life. Rabbi Zavlov points out, just like Mishpacha, okay, I'm quoting from, like when I quote the Rabbi, I'm not quoting from, you know, one specific Mishpacha article or one Shir of Rabbi Lav or one insight of the Rav. So Rabbi Zavlov points out something so interesting. Yisurin is from the root word sar, to turn. Moshe said by the burning bush, Shemos chapter 3, Asurana ve'era esamara hagadozos madualo yivar hasne. Let me turn and see why the bush is not burning. So Rabbi Zavlov said the root word of Yusurin, which is something that I never considered before, is Samech Resh. Samech Resh means to turn and see. Because what's the purpose of our suffering, said Rabbi Lev? It's not because Hashem, who's our, like what Meilich Biederman says, he's your father who loves you. It's not because Hashem wants to punish us. It's not because Hashem wants to make us suffer. It's not because he enjoys Chas V'Shalom when he sees you crying and the maror, the charosis and the bricks and the salty water because the tears. Sar lirot. Vayar Hashem ki sar lirot. Hashem sees that Moshe turns to see. Vayikra malachal av Hashem min asneh. When you turn from your path because of your yisurin, that's when you're close to Hashem. Moshe said, Asurana ve'era esamara hagadozos madua lo yivar hasna. Moshe said, gee, let me turn and see why the bush is not burning. The bush represents the yisurin of Klal Yisrael, the yisurin of Hashem, so to speak. Hashem said, imo anochi b'tzara, that's what Rashi says. That's why it was a thorn bush. So the thorn bush represents the yisurin of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, the suffering, the affliction, the mikotza ruach and avoda kasha. Moshe says, Asurana. Suffering is meant to make us turn from our past, says Rabbi Lav. Sar. And what's the consequence of the Yisurin that leads to us turning our heads? Hashem turns to us. Vayar Hashem ki sar lir'os. When Hashem sees you turn to see God, what do you turn to see? You turn from your path. I'm minding my own business. I'm a shepherd. My life is easy. Everything is fine. It's so pleasant. Please leave me alone. Then you notice Yisurin. You turn to see. Paradoxically, it makes you closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. Because what happens? What's Mida Kenegan Mida? Moshe turns to see. Hashem turns Kaviyachal and calls out to Moshe. So now Moshe and Hashem have a relationship. They didn't have a relationship before. This is the first time Moshe meets God. What was the first step? Moshe turns. And so Hashem, Kaviyachal, turns to him and calls out to him from the burning bush. So therefore, the suffering brought him closer to Hashem. So it is truly an expression of kindness. I just want to see something. Okay. This is one example amongst many. The world is filled with both observable kindness, so what looks to us like revealed kindness, as well as suffering, which we're understanding is really a form of kindness as well. Because the suffering makes us turn to see Hashem. And if we turn to see Hashem, you're closer to Hashem. Some people have financial problems. Some people have difficulty with their children. Some people have marital problems. There are many other kinds of troubles. So that's just to enumerate a few. Well, we all know many people's problems fall into one of those categories. Financial, parnasa, difficulty with children. What was Isha told? She wasn't chava yet. What was Isha told? She will have tsar leidas banim and tsar gidol banim. That's not just the suffering of the childbirth, the Chavei Mashiach, when you say, Mandui, Mandui, my God, my God. It's the raising of the children as well. And that was from the time of Isha, after she ate from the forbidden fruit. There'll be the Leidas Banim and the Gidol Banim, the birthing the children and the raising the children. Some people have marital problems. Sometimes, Al Kenyazov Isha, Soviva Simova, Davak Bishtova, Hayula Basar Chad, so there's trouble there also. Rachman al-San, Hashem should save us from all of these. There are many other kinds of troubles, and sometimes a person feels like Yeush. This whole shir ties together to the fact of Va'era is red, Shabbos Mevarchim, Shvat. The fact that Hashem promises redemption when redemption seems totally hopeless. The fact that we don't see a vessel and vehicle. We can make a new word. Vesicle. We coined it in Shir. You heard it here first. The fact that Hashem had a vehicle or vessel for redemption, the Mata, which was done from Sheshes and Mebereshes that we couldn't even perceive of. So Hashem, that's all the lesson of Shvat, the trees, the regrowth, the light from dark, the Geula from Galus, the life from death. There are many other kinds of troubles, but the common denominator is that each trouble comes from a sin. Remember, it could be a previous Gilgal. Sometimes you see really tzaddik viralo, and it seems like totally impossible that a person on that level could be having such suffering. They're a complete tzaddik. But don't forget what we learned in the previous page was that the begilgal haneshamos, it could be something I did wrong. It could also be a person should make a cheshbon and nefesh. And it could also be that in a previous migration of the soul, there was a sin that was not rectified. And its goal is truly to bring a person close to Hashem. So if you understand that the purpose of Yisurin is Sar Liros, that's from Rabbi Lef, the purpose of troubles is to make you turn. In turning to Hashem, Mida Kenega Mida, he turns to us. I'm tying it into the burning bush. In turning to us and us turning to him, you come closer to Hashem. So is the suffering bad or good? Is it kindness or the other way? In some strange way, it's actually a chesed of Hashem. Because through that yisurin, we turn to God, he turns to us. And the ultimate result is a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam that we may have not had before. So for the person who told me, Mamish, I had such a chizak. Did you see that I shared it with you? I was like, wow, I think that made my week. She said she wakes up Wednesday morning, she's so excited because tonight is Shari. So we should continue, the Ribbono Shel Olam should continue to give us the chachma bina das, the kochos, the humility to see his hand in all, to be mechazik ourselves and each other, and to always remember that a tree that looks totally dead is really a great source of life. A nation that looks beyond hope is a nation that will get the Torah in 7 weeks. And when you think you have no kli to solve your problems and burdens, Hashem says, I have something prepared from Sheshas Yimei Bereshis. So may the neshama merfel merim beschaim yitzak ala shalom. We're at a continuous aliyah. Until next week, I wish you a week of besoros tovus and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov. Thank you all.